It is very clear
yeah.
when people are using AI to influence what they're writing, if they didn't start from writing it themselves first. Or like, no, wait, Family Guy, sorry. Not Larry the Family Guy, but Family Guy.
Yeah. Forgetting things. Just like general forgetfulness. And then not in like a way of anything like particularly important, but just...
Or concerning.
Right, or concerning, right. But, well, I mean...
Well, okay,
we'll see. There, we did run into that recently, I feel like, which is... whatever, we'll talk about that later.
Danny's just fine, like probably.
Just like random shit that I'm like, why did I walk into the kitchen for? And there was something that I had to, that I had an intent. I got up from my computer because I wanted to grab a glass of water. And then I step into the kitchen and it's like 2 seconds later. I'm like,
yeah.
Why the hell? Like literally the most minuscule thing might have distracted me. Oh, hello, cats. And then it's like, why am I here? Walk back to my room. Ah, shit. Water. Right. It's really annoying. It's like,
it is annoying.
Know, it's kind of one of those little things that it happens with that or when I'm like, when I load up a game, I'm like, what the hell was I just about to play? I turned on my PC last night and I loaded up Steam and then I just stared at it for like 10 seconds, like a minute. Right. And I was like, no, I opened this up because I wanted to play something. Eventually I did. I was trying to play a game or round or 5 or 100 of Civilization, but it's just like...
That moment of
really grinds my gears. Yeah, that moment of like unclarity.
Okay, so really quickly first, now was this your topic the whole time or did you forget your topic and decided to go into that?
The first one for sure.
This was always your topic?
No.
No, you forgot the topic and so you used it as the topic.
Yeah. Because okay, I did so have you, something in
okay,
mind,
no. So
yeah.
The thing is, that's good to know because that's, I needed to know how serious is this conversation? was this a plan Danny had? We skipped doing the podcast last week. We didn't really talk all that much. Like, I saw you recently. Maybe it doesn't feel that way to Danny. I was like, I saw you this weekend, like 3 days ago. We were on a boat for multiple hours together. And then, you know, to be like, oh, you've just been stewing on this is your opener? Just about maybe still Alice-ing yourself?
Yeah. No, unfortunately. As fun as that would be.
Okay. But I will say, Danny, it is annoying, and I totally agree with you. That does grind my gears.
Thank you.
I will say, on every single level, like how often, oh my God, how often in my life do I get to the place that I meant to go if it's around my home?
Yeah, I'm saying,
and then
man.
Go, there's no way I needed to be in here.
No.
Nah.
Yeah.
So what I actually have figured out, what I do is I just keep moving and see if it comes back instead of trying to go back. Like, I usually can catch it be like before I'm like back to my home base of like I give up.
Mm-hmm.
You catch it there. What I find is you're probably pointing the right direction. So you just gotta maybe just keep going that direction and see what you run into. Because maybe your body has positioned itself the way you need to go. Right. So you just trust it. And then I think what it ultimately comes down to, Danny, because I actually do think about this sometimes. How often does that happen when you're going from a screen to the thing?
Yeah.
It's always that.
It's always, yeah.
It's the only time I'm that forgetful is when I go from screen directly to intention off of.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, it's way different.
Good
call. I think it's the non-tactile nature of us. Like the way that we're consuming information now is so unspatial that it's different in how our memory is recorded. I do feel like that's a thing that's changing. More that we like live in kind of more of a non-tactile world where knowledge isn't physically written down as
much.
Right. So
you're
I think
not like flipping a page or something.
Yeah. Because like everyone's always known like the best way to have comprehension is writing something down.
Right.
Like our brains have been like hardwired for that because that's how we've done it for all of it that we remember. Because that's when we started writing.
For all of recorded history.
like literally. It's what we've been doing since we started going, hey, we should write this down. Writing.
Whoa.
So like now that writing's dead, effectively, writing is just a thing that you watch on TikTok because people do it nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's as far as writing exists in our society, aside from like threats that teachers that still are having to teach stuff that is not applicable any longer as a skill where they have to like still tell kids no, but it is, yes, it is everything that's ever been in a book and you have it in your hand. Yes, that's true. But also, can you just read To Kill a Mockingbird? Can you guys stop running To Kill a Mockingbird through AI and say make it funnier? And stop bringing that to class. Because I'm sure that that's a real thing that's happening right now.
Oh, man.
That's a teacher's day. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I think it has something to do with the constant switch of screen to non-screen. So
yeah, but now I can stick it to my teachers for saying that I wasn't going to have a calculator in my pocket when I grew up.
Yeah.
So wrong.
I think the right answer is, and I hate to say this, the right answer is probably the Neuralink. The computer needs to be inside the building.
Welcome to the DMGT podcast. I am your host, Danny.
And I'm your host, and maybe screen conspiracy theorist, Spencer.
Yeah, you're going full. I had to cut you off. You're going full Musk on me here. Like, what's
I did
going
it on purpose.
What's going on here?
It was a button
here?
To the story.
It was great. It was a good button. The cutoff also always works. Spencer, what are we talking about today? Because we only have a couple of episodes left before our summer break because we're taking a summer break, people.
Yeah. Where are we going this summer on the company retreat? You haven't sent me the details. What dates should I be blocking off?
Spencer, let's keep business and employee matters to ourselves because you'll see a calendar invite coming up.
I will?
Pretty soon.
Okay. Who's going to be on the calendar invite?
It better just not be me.
Just you?
And HR, but we'll worry about that later.
Okay. Okay, cool. So I'm going to put that out of my mind. So yeah, sounds good. What were we talking about?
Spencer, your deliverables. What are today's topics?
So our topics today, folks, we're going to continue to check in on just like what we've been watching, playing.
Yeah.
Looking at things we've been doing the last couple weeks. You know, or just what's on our mind overall tech-wise, game-wise, all of our things. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Shadows of the Erdtree new trailer just dropped as of us recording this, basically.
T-minus one month.
And it's almost here. And we haven't really just, like, caught up about it all that much. So I think it's a good one to catch up on. We're going to talk a little bit about ChatGPT 4.0, OpenAI, just kind of ish, a lot of some AI stuff, but also
a little bit of drama, but nothing too crazy.
We're not going to go too ranty with the AI. It's just there's some interesting actual AI news that we will talk about.
Yeah.
And then IGN making those money moves as those media companies are want to do.
Yeah, interesting moves by IGN there. And also they were in the news quite a bit.
Over the weekend. With maybe a mashup of almost every topic we have already brought up.
Yeah,
it's honestly an insane coincidence
that
a confluence of factors led to, I believe, combining all of our things that we weren't even connecting together. But it is a single representation of the entire subject matter of the podcast today.
You know, I'm going to be really annoying right now for a second. I'm sorry. Okay. You've used Confluence a couple of times correctly in conversation on a couple episodes, and it just triggered in my head. I'm like, that's why it's called Confluence.
Oh.
I know.
Am I saying it right? Do you know if I'm saying
it right?
Confluence?
Yeah.
Confluence?
Yeah. Like a joint.
No, I know. But like, and then also the company, right?
Confluence. Yes. I think
people hit Confluence a little different than when you're using it normal?
Confluence? Fluence.
Confluence.
Fluence.
You know, it's like one of those when a company is actually a word, sometimes you're like, wait, do you like say the company a little different?
Right, right, right. Because they're being weird. It's like when they
They're like, no, this is this. Yeah. Anyhow. But thank you, because honest, every time I swing that word out, I'm like, I don't know if I'm using it right. But you've checked me on it.
Yes, I have.
That's good to know.
Good job.
That's good to know, because I asked, did I say it right? Because often I don't know if I say words right. You know this.
Hey, wait. I mean, you're talking to technically someone whose English was a second language, so.
That's true.
Can't help you much there.
But you know what's crazy? I think a lot of the time, everyone around me, regardless of English first or second, is like, hey, you don't say it like that. And I'm like, oh, that's, I can't make it sound different.
That's just how my mouth moves.
You say it where I'm like, no, I know you're hearing it different. My brain says I'm saying it that way.
Oh, yeah.
What are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
You've really screwed us on this.
I'm sorry. Here, I got a couple of stuff that I've been thinking about lately.
What have you been up to?
I love the Billie Eilish album. I'll let you talk about it a little bit more, but
we can both talk about it.
I loved it, dude.
You loved it?
It's a great, I think it has jumped into my album of the year. It's number one right now.
I was thinking, you know what? We're getting to that time. That's going to be probably our last episode before we chill out for our summer.
Trip, we'll give you a full list next week.
The trip is to, company trip is where again? Sorry. You were going to say it, right?
Yeah. I was going to say it. Where are we going? We're going to the lake.
Okay. So, So Billie Eilish, I think, is up there. Is Cowboy Carter, where's Cowboy Carter charting for you?
Cowboy Carter still high up there.
Yeah. What else is up there for you this year?
Honestly, I haven't really thought about it that much, and that's why the Billie one.
Yeah,
is high.
I think like pop record wise, aside from Beyonce, I think I instantly was having a bit more interesting of a time with this one versus like Dua Lipa's.
Yes.
So agreed. I like Dua Lipa's.
Also, yes.
And also it's like when we were talking about Dua Lipa's, a couple weeks ago, I think we talked about it. It's like you could plug in a lot of the same words for the Billie Eilish album where I'm like, yeah, it's like kind of familiar. Like it's not like Billie Eilish is doing something completely different. Like, you know, so far away that you can't even understand it, especially with like the bridge single
from
Barbie soundtrack. What was I made of? When I realized that, oh, this was recorded around that time. That's when I really was like, oh, wow, this is OK. So this is like less recent than it feels in what Billie Eilish might be doing right now.
Right.
But it also, I feel like I'm like, maybe I'm a little less inundated by things that sound very similar to Billie Eilish, as opposed to, I think a lot of people went and saw Future Nostalgia, and for a while everyone was like, well, let's do that.
Right.
Like it really brought like a big flavor of that. And there was a lot of copycat, I think, in smaller artists for sure with Billie Eilish, but I don't think a ton of stuff has been taken from into broader pop as much yet. I think it's starting to be there, but not as much as what I think Dua Lipa's Future Nostalgia stuff is really kind of, because we were in kind of a groove moment for a while, and like maybe we're looking for something a bit different right now. I don't know.
Yeah,
the groove might be, the 80s groove might be starting to fade away.
Yeah, it's one of those where I'm like, that's funny that you say that, because I was talking to Lily in the car. I was like, here's why some of the production on this Billie record is working for me, because as much as I love the 80s and the synth and the pads and everything, it's all a lot more tastefully done and very sparse. It's more of a accent rather than the focal point in a lot of these songs on the Billie record, because
all the same sounds.
It's
as a lot of everything else.
Yeah. But it's just the balance and the mix and how they kind of play with each other is much different than what mainstream pop is doing. I think it's like even Taylor's Tortured Poets tried to do that to some degree, but it was just like so erratic that it didn't. There's no cohesiveness to to that record, where this one is like concise, tight. It's the reason why I love 10 track, 45 minute song love albums.
43. So I think, I was thinking about this. I don't know if I sent it to you or not, but I was definitely thinking about this to say. I think that maybe Billie Eilish, one of Billie Eilish's big influences, and I think maybe even Phineas's, like, biggest influences. I don't know if they've ever talked about it. It's not like I follow every interview that anyone does, because I don't read anything about anybody.
If you're about to say what, like, I think you're going to say, the answer is yes.
Obsessed with Lorde.
Oh, no.
Well, and specifically, first album Lorde and Lorde's EP before her album, because I would say this album really puts that, I'm using all these modern tricks in a off tempo way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am also like barely singing full throat this entire record. Like, I would say that Billie's has its own style to it. And Phineas, they like, it's not a, I'm not saying it's like a copycat, but I'm saying like, it feels like
the influence is there for sure. The influence is for sure there. Yeah.
That type of Lorde, which Lorde doesn't even do anymore, really. Like, that's a, like, no one really did it. And like, Lorde has one album where it really is this, like, let's actually leave space around all sorts of stuff.
It's a cycle, baby. Everything's
a cycle. And we're back in the cycle. It's about 10 years later. Right. I mean, Billie's been doing similar stuff, so it's not like it's, this is brand new, but I really think she's, this is, yeah, one of her best ones.
Yeah. It felt very, some of like pre, Where Do We All Go, Billie. Like, I'm thinking like Ocean Eyes era, like, you know, when she was still a teenager and was already famous, which is wild when you think about like how long she's been famous for.
It's shocking. Insane. Because it's like she's been famous for quite a while now, but then also Lorde has been famous for quite a while now, because both of them, also part of it is,
yeah, they started younger, when they were like 16, younger people, 15 years
that
old,
that are making these insane pieces of music that are so extremely polished at such young ages. It's just incredible. And I think like we instantly forget that with someone like Billie Eilish, where it's like, this is Billie Eilish's third album. This is Billie Eilish's third album. And like, this is the first one she can drink legally while going to an album party.
It's nuts.
Right?
It's nuts.
Isn't that true? Like, this is her first in, you know, a junior year of college age.
It's crazy because, I'm glad that you brought that up, because
like a 10-year career already.
When I think like, about when I think about like an artist or especially a younger artist that's like, you know, aging and maturing and figuring out their sound, also definitely not thinking about the age thing as far as like, oh man, what am I doing at 33, dude? Add another 10 years and where's she going to be at? God damn.
I'm just honestly, if anything, what we're saying to Billie Eilish is make your money, get out, go enjoy life.
Hell
get
out of there. Hell yeah.
Like, don't, no need. Just like, be really smart, make your money, and then just like be the coolest person who doesn't have responsibility that's ever lived.
I think the cool thing about what her and Phineas are potentially doing, because I do think that them together, both of them individually are insanely talented, but both of them together producing and making music as a unit, they have the sauce. They have the sauce that no one else has. Yeah.
And I also think it's like, I hope that their family seems as healthy as they seem, you know, like at this point, like, because then I'm like, maybe, like,
maybe, you know, they will be like,
maybe
it
is chill.
And
like, they're, yeah, because it is tough with like pop stars becoming these huge brands that have to continue on. And I think, like, well, it's just like, what is it? The thing like NBA players talk about, like, what was it on? I don't know, one of the, every NBA, there's too many players having podcasts, and they all are talking on each other's, like, as it's one big, it's like a lot to follow. But on one of them, it's like, well, like half the NBA, like, truly does think about the NBA and professional basketball as their job. And like, they don't really love it as much anymore, because it's just at this point, it just becomes a job. Love can get you so far, and it can get you all the way, or like that kind of work ethic can start from love, but he's like, the people that have it for long term are few.
That's why
no one wants to play 20 seasons, partly because no one can age that gracefully, but also some of it is like, because no one wants to do that. It's a long time.
It's too long.
Same thing with like pop stars where it's like,
yeah. Well, that's what I was about to get to. Like, I think and especially now in the streaming TikTok era where it's like, you got to crank out a single twice a year and it's got to be consistently twice a year, maybe throw in a project and an album once in between those. But it's like, you're cycling through, you're cranking that shit out all the time. It's my biggest problem with Tortured Poets Department, where it's like, you're just releasing everything that you wrote, regardless of how polished or not it is, because one, you have the fan base to do it, so it's a little bit of a different situation, but it's also a symptom of just like the streaming game and like how to get the streaming numbers up, because that's how I'm going to make my money. So if I have more songs, more tracks, more streams, that Billy's approach here feels very Kendrick to me in some ways, where it's like, because of that, because of like how often you have to release, like not everything is like really polished, not everything is super tight, not everything is like a classic in your own catalog. But when you take longer in between, you're more likely to like fall through because the attention spans are so dumb and like cycles of pop music. It's hard to do. It's extremely hard to do. But now you have a third straight album where it's like, maybe I didn't like Happier Than Ever as much as the first one, but this one, I don't know if I'm going to put it quite up there just yet, but it's like, damn, this is another Billy classic. And it feels very similar to like a Kendrick. Like, yeah, you only have four albums in 12 years. I can divide. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of in that realm where it's like, okay, cool, fine. But now every single one of those is like critically acclaimed. They're all really fucking good.
Yeah. And I think the thing about pop stars versus like rap, because it's like rap, you can also live off features really.
That's true. Yeah.
Easily, especially if you're someone like Kendrick, because Kendrick, like.
That's true.
He's featuring like on 10, an album's worth of songs a year, most of the time, it feels like. Unless he's like actively writing and doing his next album. But I think with Billie Eilish, she kind of fills the void with tie ins. Like, it seems it's like tie in singles that take over, because if she really focuses on a single piece, or they really focus on a single piece, it usually swings hard.
Pretty good.
Like, so far, it's like, hey, you need a hit to have your movie have an Oscar winning song. We're always open to it.
yeah. It's
and we super crush impressive. It every time.
It's super
and
it's impressive.
Like important and interesting renditions of what this can be. Like, it's very cool to fill that. That's like filling the space around the albums. It's like, geez, intense.
Yeah, it's wild times. Speaking of kind of like the tone of this Hit Me Hard and Soft album, because the production, the lyrics, everything is working really well for me. But it's all kind of like not sleepy, but definitely like very specific mood. I've been playing a lot of Dorf Romantic lately. So it's this puzzle game. It's very casual, very passive, very easygoing puzzle game called Dorf Romantic. And all it is you're just chilling, putting puzzle pieces together on like a board, kind of like a board game type situation. And you're just trying to match up the sides as much as you can. You get like little missions and things. And you're just building like a little town, little area. You're just building like a little, however far you can get. And then like when you run out of like sides to, because it gets more and more complex as you go. So if you're like on your 100th piece, it's going to be trickier to like, let me place this in the right spot, because maybe you've boxed yourself in. And then that's it. You didn't lose. You're just like, this is now complete. This is your little town, your little forest, your little landscape.
This is how far you were able to get.
Yeah.
So it's like I love it. So like, basically, I assume if you do the correct things, you can get more puzzle pieces and go longer.
Yep.
But then there's also some level of, but if I set this here and then this comes up, so it's almost like a deck builder.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I guess it's a little roguey because you're just basically
because it's a different
every
time. Yeah, you're resetting every time. You're making a new map every time.
Danny, it's like we're on the same fucking wavelength, because that's exactly basically what my game is.
It's great. I highly recommend. Highly recommend. It's funny because I brought up Civilization 6 because it's like also Hex. It's like six side building.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks awesome. It's like, I love when a game is just like, it's just chill out, have just play a game.
Yeah, just
like play a game. When they're really good, they're really good. And mine is Balatro. Do you know how to say it?
Balatro.
Balatro. I think
that's right.
Balatro.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Balatro. Right. Yeah. Okay. So have you seen anything about this game?
No, I have no idea what this is. This looks interesting right away, though.
So this game, I've seen it on a couple channels I follow on YouTube. I don't remember which ones, but it was like featured on something where it's like, hey, this is like a shockingly awesome, like roguelike deck builder. That like really gives you vibes of Slay the Spire, like, but in a different mechanism of feeding it to you. Huh. But it's like very, very similar in the idea of that type of roguelike card deck builder. But it's just using poker hands instead of having any lay on at all. The lay on is the manipulation that you can do with different types of power up cards and stuff.
Nice.
But it's also just like, turn it on, vibe out.
It's interesting that you say that, because at first glance, I'm like, this is kind of spooky. The art
No. It's not at all. Like, there's really no tone to the game other than, I would say, this sound like.
To be fair, it's specifically the Joker card. Some of the Joker cards
look a little spooky.
The rest of them look cool.
Yeah. But then if you don't do good, it goes until you start again. So it's a little sad at the end.
I'm going to check this out.
Oh, dude, it's free on PlayStation right now. That's the problem. Yeah, it just came out on PlayStation. It's included with premium or plus or whatever. Whichever one we have, the middle, the medium.
The internet loves dunking on these monthly releases on the premium. I'm like,
no,
hey, man, this like, is how you find new games, man. This I'm is how you discover up, video
you,
games.
Do you ever just play the games
just try
on
one.
It?
Just freaking
just play
try one.
The game. If you play one game for like 5 hours, you paid for it.
Yeah,
basically.
Oh yeah, easily. Just one.
That's why I downloaded like 10 things, because they were all like games I hadn't played, because I was like, honestly, I need to not pay for a game. And I think this one was free, or this one was like $10, and either way, a steal. Like, I don't remember if it was or not.
Yeah, it's $15 on Steam. Would you pay $15 for this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, boom. There you go. That's the review right there. Folks, play Balatro on Steam, PlayStation, and I think it's on Switch, too, it looks like. Yes, it is. Hey, it's even on Mac. Look at that.
Yeah,
wow.
I think it just came out for everything. Yeah.
Very cool.
There's some really interesting videos on YouTube that are like explaining basically like the idea that this game's math is so potentially breaking itself that like the only that's like a one guy developer, I think, one person developer. And it's like, yeah, like all of the math is barely contained and the game is about to explode at every second, but it doesn't. But it basically feels like that behind the scenes for me. Yeah, it's $11.99 on PlayStation Store right now.
I love hearing stories like that from developers, especially from small teams, when it's just like one person, like, yeah, I get it, all the feedback, but honestly, it's a miracle that it's actually functioning properly.
It's basically it's like,
give me a break.
Like, dude, this thing fucking it works every time. I don't care if it's a nightmare behind it.
It's a great
one person
time.
Developer. Yeah. Yeah. So also, this game within 8 hours of release made $1 million in Steam sales.
Wow.
So it was like 500,000 copies in the first 10 days, $1 million within the first month. So like it came really hit hard when it came out, I think early this year, and then it got ported over like pretty quickly. And they're also going to release it on Android iOS. So I would say this is basically a Slay the Spire that isn't Slay the Spire if you need
it's
one.
It's just card. Yeah, it's just cards. Poker cards, basically.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, that's cool. Love to hear that. That's nuts. I feel like I would have I'm just surprised that I missed my radar missed it. Like,
now to be fair, do you routinely look up stuff like new roguelike, new deck builder,
like new roguelike specifically?
Like, I'm always looking at roguelike stuff because I'm like, if there's any inkling that this is about Silksong, I need to have my I need to have it dialed in.
Fair. Ah, Silksong. One day it might be real.
It might.
Maybe it won't, but I choose to believe still for a little bit.
I don't know. Maybe once we get to boot it up, we Back to the Future, Marty McFly disappear from our life, it's like our clothes sitting there. Yeah.
that's when we die. No.
Yeah, that's like the happening or whatever.
We got to
get pulled up through space.
We got to do like a co-stream or something. We're like, not even a stream. We could just like record the gameplay
levitating.
That would be a good one. And they're like, just for proof. Let me
go home. But speaking of video games that came out and that are coming out, Shadows of the Erdtree tree, new trailer. That's a game that has come out and is coming out, basically. Elden Ring.
You know, I was literally about to slack you earlier when this trailer came out. I was like, I think we need to do a run through of Elden Ring in prep for this because I got to get my chops back
oh, up. Yeah. Because I'm like, how many more times am I going to have to kill that bear? Is it 1,000 more? Is it 10,000 more? It might be 10,000 more because I had to kill that bird a lot of times. But I also think I'm better at video games now.
We might not have
than
to.
I was.
We might not have
and
to.
And I don't know. It's going to be hard to know until we do it.
I mean, they did say it was going to be, what's his name? Miyazaki.
Mean game face.
Miyazaki was like, more hard. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm into it. DLC should be harder, I think. DLC should be harder than the main game.
It's for the people that did the whole thing and went, let's keep going.
Yeah. It's a gnarly story trailer. It's a gnarly trailer. It looks really cool.
It is, it's like a trailer that I was like, what if, man, if this was 2003 and this was like, instead of Lord of the Rings, you saw this, but it was like Peter Jackson. It's basically feels that epic.
Yeah.
And like, holy crap, this looks insane. Danny, the only reason I want to talk about this, whole reason I brought it up, did you see the walking fire giants that are on flame in a metal basket?
It's crazy. It's and that's just like it's that's basically like the torches, the lighting for the castle or whatever.
Oh, so you're the fire that's coming to the city. You are it.
Nuts. Like,
and that's just like what, 3 seconds?
Yeah.
And I when I saw it, I was like, wait, what? What is that? That's not even, doesn't even look like it's going to be a main thing to deal with. It's just one of many of them.
It's,
this game is going to be, it's
going to be so good. It's going to be so damn good. It's going to be just so good. It's going to be
honestly,
so good.
That's why we're probably not going to do the podcast because this will likely
consume
be
us.
Like last time where it was
all
like
consuming.
We played like 120 hours in like. Yep. Less than a month,
and we have
full-time jobs.
Midsummer.
And lives. We have other things that should be happening.
God, man, this is this.
And they're like, this is about as, I don't know, it's about as big as a game. Maybe a little bigger. I don't know. Yeah, whatever.
This damn DLC is here to save my year, which has not been a bad year. I want to reiterate that it has not been a bad year for video games. We just got extremely spoiled the last few years.
Yeah.
And now this one's like, oh yeah, here we go, baby. This is that high that I've been chasing so far. It's looks so good. But yeah, I got to do a run through. And I think I'm going to try a different build. I'm not going to do a magic build this time.
So, Danny, I learned my lesson on a melee build. I don't recommend it. Don't do a dex build.
I'm thinking I'm going to go strength build. I'm just going to go.
I really hope that as long as the final boss can be fought by any class, as opposed to having to respec because you're not good enough at the game, and you're like, I didn't want to play as a magic guy, but you didn't think about melee guy that bad at game. You didn't think about melee guy at bad at game. that kill bird so many times. I had to kill bird so many times.
It's the thing and that those, everyone and those
sad
hated.
Sad men, those so, sad rock men. So why weird. Do you make me do this?
So weird that like this deep into we finish most of the game and it's like, yeah, game of the decade potentially, and it's like, but that final boss though was kind of bad.
It doesn't even yeah, matter. It's so insane. That's how crazy the game is.
That's so weird because
that's the point. I'm so mad about that, but in the tapestry of experience of that game, I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
It wasn't even about that. Barely a blip. It was barely about that, but seriously, don't do that again. But I am going to do a magic build or a range, something rangy, because I ain't going to get played again. And guess what? I'm going to have to respec again. I know it.
It's going to be sick. I can't wait to play this, dude. It's going to be so freaking good. I'm also going to play Hellblade 2 this week. I just haven't gotten around to, I mean, it just came out. I'm hearing wait based on the launch. But it's on Game Pass is a thing. So it's like, okay, I get to play for free. Not for free, but like, you know, kind of. So I'm like, I'm going to give it a go. And here's why. Because it sounds like it's a less than 10-hour game. I'm like, wow, first of all, whew, that is short for a AAA title. But also, that's kind of helping me in particular. Have you played the first one? The game. I have not played the first one.
You haven't played the first one?
No.
Calling it a AAA game? It's strong, just like the first one. I don't know how much of it I would consider a game.
Well, that's the thing. Like, people are like, it's like the term walking simulator gets thrown out a little bit too loosey goosey, and some of the reviews I've read are like, this is actually that.
So it's like the first game. You need to prepare yourself for that because I know.
Okay, cool. I know what I'm getting into.
AAA game. I was like, well. Game strong there.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's an interesting experience. There's cool. Yeah. But game is.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm interested
to see. Are you going to play with headphones?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the sound design is absolutely incredibly terrifying.
Not the thing I thought you were going to say.
It's about mental health. At least the first one is about like memory and how memory affects you, how you affect it, generational stuff maybe. I didn't finish it because honestly I got annoyed with it being a walking simulator. Mm. And it's also like, wait, is this person schizophrenia? Because I'm hearing whispers. It's really trippy. It's like really cool and it looks beautiful. And it is a walking simulator, I think, kind of because a bit of it is like tech demo-y in the sense of like we're pushing shit.
That's true. I mean, visually it looks insane. It looks crazy. So yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like a little side bit that I will be doing that. So keep an eye out for impressions. You want to talk about this AI thing? Cause
we're going to talk a little AI.
Yeah. OpenAI.
So, you know what? Let's just kind of talk about it all a little bit. Because we've been talking a little bit about AI stuff because, like, I don't know, the more and more we're in our lives at work, the more and more you're like, this really is like what everybody is talking about in most ways.
Yeah.
Like, and if we're, There's and no then if you're not, it. You're yeah. like, I'm starting to be like, but shouldn't we think that way? Like, isn't that like kind of what, you know, is like we everyone's kind of doing it. So I think the thing that we've been talking about is like when new things are adopted at work, there's a curve in implementation. I'm saying just on the individual level. I'm not saying the stuff that companies are doing at all. I'm saying like working at companies.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, like when Slack, like if you weren't someone who was already very Slack literate at your company before COVID, right? If you weren't a big adopter of Slack culture and your company had Slack and then COVID happened, you were behind.
You were so behind. Yep.
Like, and you know, people that weren't good at Slack because they didn't get better at Slack sometimes, even though we're like all remote distributed.
Yeah,
everyone
it's like, hey, this is like the
most companies
way to communicate.
In tech.
So, yeah.
Right. And so like, I think about that and I think like, you know, it's like you can keep going back to every like kind of change of work life. You know, from like not having computers to having computers.
Yeah.
From having computers that can do one thing that takes all day to having computers on our person at all times.
Yep.
Like these are huge different ways of everything happening. Our brains act differently. Customers think differently. Everything is different. Blah, 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 blah. But that also means like you should be probably like thinking about how can AI be utilized to make myself more efficient as a person doing jobs in a way that like obviously your company's good with, like don't go wild on something and like not to replace it, but to like make better decisions because you kind of have like a something to throw darts at. That's what I think about AI, right? But I think what we're starting to see, and this is where IGN comes into it, because these were unrelated topics we just realized are related, is when people start to potentially implement AI tools in their own work life, be it I'm a digital marketer, be it I'm a support person, be it a product manager, whatever it is, engineer, all of it. Because GPT 4.0 basically seems to be pretty good at a lot of normal, everyday...
The conversational aspect,
Conversation, checking for errors.
Right.
It's like relatively scoring high on all of those like core things of like, this isn't that bad if machine learning helps anybody out with like drafting an email better.
Right.
Or checking a line of code that you wrote to see if you made any like very clear errors without having to like deal with something else. Like,
You have some stuff
something to
that,
be like, how would you solve this problem? And it just like collects a bunch of data and says, well, this is a bunch of ways I've seen it, quote unquote, done.
Yeah.
And it's like you're just synthesizing where your search should lead you. Like that's what AI is right now. But I think what people are already doing is going, no, AI just is. I say, hey, tell me about, make me email about this.
Right.
And then I just send that. It's going to be bad. And we have a maybe example that me and you maybe broke together today.
Yeah.
Where IGN's in hot water. Tell me about it. Because you brought this to me. Because I was talking the other side of AI.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, what the hell?
I didn't even think about it that way. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, that's the first thing I should have done. Yeah, because, like, IGN... tweeted out, so over the weekend, Kai Cenat, one of the, I don't know if he's the biggest streamer, but he's like up there, maybe top fivers. I think iShowSpeed is still number one. But Kai Cenat, pretty big streamer, like does, it's variety streamer. He has like...
an extremely established online influencer around gaming spaces and does
music,
a lot of YouTube
lot
stuff.
Of
he does all
culture.
Sorts of shit. He is literally like...
Yeah. He's got...
And he's like, what, 23?
Rappers have been on the shows,
like
pop stars
23
have been
on the
show. Right now, 22? Yeah, he's like 23. He's very young,
and,
so it's super
and been doing
successful.
Stuff for multiple years.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
Like, phenom, a Billie Eilish, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a phenom at a young age doing
and
stuff that...
And to his credit, for the most part, one of the relatively not problematic ones. Seems like a pretty genuine dude.
Does some prank stuff, and I'm just against prank stuff in general.
Yeah, prank stuff's kind of annoying,
I don't like
but
stuff.
Like as far as like, you know, red pill content shit, like not really in that space at all, which I think is nice and refreshing to see.
Things can just not... Things can be apolitical if all you're trying to be is not... Because I don't... Like, you don't have to make a statement.
So,
if you're just trying to make a goof...
So let me set the stage here because... I believe it was last summer. He tried doing a giveaway. I chalk it down to youth. Nothing really malicious about this. He literally just said, hey, I'm doing a giveaway for like a PS5 or something. Come to the park. And he's in New York City. Come to the park at this time on Saturday. And I'm going to pick a winner. And we'll like hang out and I'll meet a bunch of you. Cool. Super harmless indie intent. You're a pretty big streamer with millions of like followers and kind of like
definitely something you
out.
Probably could you
should
have thought
planned
about.
This out. Yes. Yeah. It's definitely more of a naivete thing rather than like a malicious thing. But anyways, it became big news and you probably now know what I'm talking about at this point because it was national news at that point. It just got out of hand. He was like, I did not expect this many people to come up. We were not prepared for this. The city is like, what the hell? did you do? You should have planned for this, blah, blah, blah. Shit ton of kids, shit ton of people show up. Not just kids, just a bunch of people show up. And some of them, as they do, are troublemakers and they just cause some shit. So anyways, that happened. Some people blame Kai. Some people were like, ah, it's just kind of like youth and like didn't plan this out properly. I really think that that's all it was, because then he left. But it was a mess that the city of New York did have to deal with for that afternoon. Whatever.
Yeah. And then it like got picked up. And
got picked up, picked up went, steam, blah, blah, blah.
All the places.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Of would course. Go. All the stuff that you would imagine. Both, he started playing.
All the sides of it. Yeah. Probably. Yeah. All your the opinion stuff. Is correct. Yes. Like whichever side. Yeah. You have something whatever. That told you that whatever. This is what it was.
But normally for video game stuff, he has historically stuck to like your 2Ks, your Fortnite, your Call of Duties, like that realm, FIFA, Madden. Yeah. Like
he's
the
a
big, big stuff, mainstream
influencer. Like it's basically like stuff. It's like watching a cable TV show.
Yeah. He decided to play Elden Ring a couple of weeks ago. He's like, fine, I'm going to get into this, blah, blah, blah. Some people are like, okay, whatever. And he beats it. The dude like struggles, but he plays for a long time. He sticks with it. He like set up his room. It looked really cool. Like he set up his streaming room with like a bunch of Elden Ring shit and like medieval shit to like really fit the vibe. I'm like, okay, he committed to the bit all the way, which was fun to see. 160 hours. He finally beats it over the weekend. I think it's drawing a lot of eyes that maybe were afraid to do it in 2022. So like, you know what? Maybe if he can do it, maybe
honestly,
I can
that
do
he
it too.
Did, like 160 hours. I'm like, I think
pretty good.
Did okay comparatively to that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what my time was.
Yeah, we did great. We did like 100, 120, something like that.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah.
So we crushed.
Great job for us.
Good, great job for us. It makes us feel better for sure. Anyways, he does it. So it's like, oh, this is
kind of cool. Games are hard sometimes.
It's a hard game. IGN tweets, Kai Cenat, the popular streamer who once incited a riot in New York with a giveaway event, has officially finished Elden Ring after more than a 160-hour marathon that at one point included throwing his controller out the window.
Okay, so Danny, you send this to me.
Yeah.
And the only reason I actually connected the dots was because when I initially saw there was something that was kind of maybe like racist or like shitty... Or it's like not the fact that you need to bring up for this particular situation.
Right, right.
It just doesn't, it felt bad at the very least. Maybe.
Just the undertones like, are unnecessary.
There's some undertones there for sure. Like, yeah. So it's like, you sent me that. And then I, honestly, I was like, wait, are you talking OpenAI? Or are you talking IGN? And you go IGN and then you send it to me. And so I have been doing a thing in my life.
I gotta start doing this.
Generally, because honestly, like, I do think it's very, 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 very important for people to get literate about what AI is. I'm not saying AI, real AI. I'm saying what we call AI, machine learning, large language models. Like, if you do anything that touches anything at all, you need to understand how AI works and what it thinks like, because it is ultimately a tool just like anything we already have. It's just packaging it in a way that feels very different.
There's no way around
doing it on an iterative basis on a speed that we're not familiar with, because the speed isn't necessarily always dependent on us continuing to push things forward. It's letting it do these things that make it bigger and more blah, blah, blah. Right. But you need to be able to understand when it's being employed, and it will not be easy, and there will be a time where it's impossible, like the way that it's going. Like, but right now, like, there's nothing bad, even if like you don't agree with it, which like that's a whole nother thing.
I get it. But we
have to
like,
you have to learn about it, and you have to understand it as much as you can.
Yeah, you have to maintain literacy to be able to speak to it. Yeah,
no one should be thinking about this as a fad. No one should be thinking about this as like, I'm just gonna not care about this that much, because like, you just are going to need to in your job, whatever your job is, straight up, just point blank done. Like anything. You could be a plumber and you're going to have to worry about AI in some part of your supply chain.
Sure.
Yep. If you're a plumber that's an independent contractor, you will have to think about AI in your life. Guess what? Learn how to see it so you can understand how to use it correctly. Because otherwise, you might look like what maybe this media Twitter poster.
Yeah.
But because the first thing I did, Danny, was
Yep.
I hand typed out the tweet because you sent me an image and I didn't want to deal with finding it. So I just typed it out into ChatGPT.
Right, because
4.0.
Yeah, because IGN deleted the tweet.
Right. Yeah. So, oh, that's why. Yeah. So I typed it out. And then first thing was just asking ChatGPT 4.0 because I got like the demo of the couple. I got to do like 20 messages with the new one. So it was like newer information, literally. And this is because it came out last week.
Yeah.
And literally if you paid for it, you would have it on Friday, Thursday. You would have it over the weekend, or you would have it while you were doing most of your work week scheduling for the weekend. Yeah. Right. So you have 4.0. So 4.0 goes to 2023 because 3.5 doesn't. Goes to 2022.
Right, 22, yeah.
So it's only pulling from. So now it's pulling newer facts, right? So I put in, do you think that this tweet is from an AI like ChatGPT? And they said it does have some hallmarks, but it's also relatively conversational, which is what we're going for, obviously. So it's like, it also could be that, or it could be like a combo. And then I go, okay, cool. So I send it through. I didn't send it through other AI detectors because I was like, all right, let's see this. Let's tackle this from a different way.
To be fair, they're not super great anymore at like flagging actual AI. Like it's starting.
And that's why. Because it's like, it's harder for things that to track it. So I didn't start there, but I went, let me think about needing to write a tweet about something that I don't know about.
Yep.
Right. So what would I do? I would say, who is Kai Cenat? ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Twitch streamer. Cool. That because it's going to give you that. Because I did ask that first. Just who is Kai Cenat? And it just gave me like Wikipedia, biography level stuff. Nothing about like what he's actually done. It's just like bylines. Right. Yeah. And then I go, what's his biggest fact about him?
Yeah.
Like what's his big, and it was basically it pulled what has the most news articles.
Yeah.
He incited a riot. So I got ChatGPT in like two questions to write almost verbatim this tweet.
This headline
from no prompt other than like 160 hour marathon to play Elden Ring, Kai Cenat. With a fact. I like basically just wrote a really simple like request for a normal request to get ChatGPT to do something you want, which is like there's a little bit of a way of phrasing that I find makes it do it better.
Yeah.
That I've discovered. And I got it to say like the exact thing.
Almost exactly the same.
And if and this is where I get back to like the literacy part. And I know this is like such a soapbox man waving windmills, which I said we shouldn't do. But it's like, I'm not talking about the danger right now. I'm just talking about like surviving.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like, so the mistake that I'm already seeing people make, be it on LinkedIn, in emails I'm getting as a consumer, and stuff you see at companies that, you know, the company you work for, is people employing AI already as a foolproof thing.
Yeah, like as a full-on replacement when it's not there yet.
It's not a replacement. You like it is very clear when people are using AI to influence what they're writing if they didn't start from writing it themselves first.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's really great to outline, write some of your thing, and then say like, hey, how does this read? Because I think it's really good at like going, this is like what I took away from it. Like, here's probably the things that are most, it's like, it can give you some really quick
feedback. Some good feedback. Yeah.
And it's usually I'm like, this is really helpful. Like, I was going for that. That's good to know. Oh, I didn't want to say it like that. Great. So I start to use it as like a, again, darts, right?
It becomes way more useful when you understand the subject matter that you're prompting.
Right.
Like, if I understand what I'm trying, like, if I go into my mid-year reviews are coming up, if you do mid-year reviews, and I go, all right, I know that I accomplished these things, and I know I have these areas to improve, and I know I have these goals for the rest of the year. Like, synthesize this into, like, a review, a self-review. You understand what you're trying to hit and the stuff that you know the most and your things. So you'll be able to read whatever it outputs and say, oh, yes, that's how I meant to structure it. That's how I was looking to structure it. I'm going to tweak this so it's more me because it still is you. Yeah. Technically, you know, well, you prompted
see, this
it.
Is where I think people make the mistake.
And it's
where...
but instead of going in like, okay, I know what needs to come out, I know what needs to be tweaked, and then I know what needs to be like implemented into the actual whatever delivery thing that I have to put in. You're just grabbing it at face value from the first prompt, popping it over, and like, this is enough, right? That's not right. No.
And so that's the thing, like it's like anything, right? Like all you do with any tool that is making something easier for you to do is make sure that you check, like you trust but verify.
Check your
right?
work. Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, cool. That seems like an interesting fact. People, okay, that makes sense. All you have to do is like look that up and be like, huh, maybe that's not the thing I should say about in the context of all of this. It doesn't really make sense to say this.
Right.
That's a weird thing because it seems like you're congratulating him almost, but then you're mentioning a riot. It just is odd. And probably, like, unfortunately, it's like, why did AI choose the fact? Well, when you ask for the biggest fact, the most known thing about, it's going to say, well, I am the internet search history. That is what I am. I am the internet search history and the articles within it. Right.
Because it
and
does I'm, not understand. Here's and here's the
I'm not
one
a
of the
person.
Flaws. Here's the, yeah,
I'm just giving you
to all of that.
It's the
it doesn't
right
understand,
answer.
It doesn't understand context.
Yes,
it does not
it's
understand
the right
context.
Answer, but it's a robot. That's all. It's just it's the right answer, but it's a robot. So it's like this is an this is just something where you're like, this is a person who's been maybe asked to implement AI in their work stream or is.
It's very possible that this person was like, is overworked. You're cranking out a shit ton of art. The amount of time is IGN, that IGN handled tweets per day.
There's so many.
It's too much. It's
yeah,
it's
and
an
it's
insane
not like there's
amount.
One person for each one. I
no,
bet.
No, of course. It's multiple people for sure. Yeah. Or like it's just grabbing the headline for whatever article that just got the publish button because this is all automated. Maybe except for the graphics, like it throws in the graphic that you have to throw in there. So somebody, but multiple.
Yeah, but it's done through a third party tool that pipes it all out to the right place at the right time. It's just like any marketing.
Yeah. So I don't blame that person behind the scenes for utilizing ChatGPT. I blame them and most likely their work environments for not giving them the right training or the right tools to use this more appropriately and probably overworking them. But that fault of like not understanding the tool that you're using and not understanding how it's being delivered is on you. Like, and that's what people need to understand. And that's why I'm a complete agreement with like, you can't like agree with it or disagree with it. Like you're doing yourself a disservice by not learning how this tool works at the very minimum.
Yeah, and it's just, like, that's the thing. It's, like, it's also something where if you can actually understand it and, like, keep up to date, it's actually going to be much easier to stay relevant with it as opposed to when you are going to be forced to reckon with it, which will come. Like, that'll be because your work wants to implement something or because, like, that's just the way a lot of things will start to be done. Like, because that's, like, the idea of it is, you know, maybe it'll be easier to do stuff and that'll be good. And that's the hope, but it's not. Nah. And then there's a million other things we can talk about, but we're not going to, Danny, because we already went plenty long.
And then
it's before the spiral starts.
And then they do the Scarlett Johansson voice. Don't do it. And it's like, okay. All right.
And they got rid of their like, don't be an evil AI group internally. And they're going to maybe pipe in Reddit to it, which has not been currently in it. So that'll be a super racist thing for a while. So
and then IGN just bought Gamer Network, which is Eurogamer, Rock Paper Shotgun, Nintendo Life, Digital Foundry.
Now, to be fair,
hold shares in those.
Now that is I hope Digital Foundry doesn't get all messed up because don't touch them.
Ah, man.
Don't touch them. They didn't buy them, but they now have stake in.
Right.
Not they didn't outright get them, but. Please don't. But Danny, is most of tech and media and gaming websites the same website already anyways? Like every The Verge, Tech Radar, Tom's Guide.
A lot of them are.
All of them. What Hi-Fi. They all look. Now, they all are the exact. They're all the same already.
It's basically like three media companies at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they're already all the same.
It's It's a strange thing because I'm not going to get into this too much. It's ironically, my work conference last week was heavily relevant to media conversations. It's just like a lot of these brands are kind of taking like they're holding on to the old school approach of like
just keep buying brand, it up.
The brand just keep buying it up, but also they're doing it because like the brand is what holds the trust. People trust IGN because it's IGN. People trust CBS because it's CBS. Like they're still in that mindset where less and less people are trusting established media brands, and regardless of like what topic you're doing. They don't just don't trust it. Like, that's why they're going towards individuals.
The entire time, you've been the ones holding yourselves back.
Truly.
Like that's really like, it's like every new type of technology that has happened in video games, the company that was like the biggest one that was doing the stuff about the video games is like, well, I'm not going to figure out how to do like that. And then they do the wrong way where they're like, what if we just like put all of our money only into just like 8,000 videos? And then everybody's like, no, we like the articles though too. It's like, okay, well, shit. Okay. Tweets. What if we do a lot of like too much tweets? Like, what if we did 600 tweets a day?
Well, it's like we gotta monetize.
Oh, and it's now content, called content, X anyways.
Content, and that's how that's how we get more ads. That's how we get more clicks and more ads and our pages. And it's called X now and whatever. It's a mess, and that's why people go for individual. Which, you know what? Honestly, a good time for us to be here. I know we've been doing this for a few years now.
Yeah.
But still a great time for us to be like still, even though it's like we're under the DMGT brand, like it's still just us. Like there's no one else involved.
I will say, if anything, we would love to be the story of like the people you used to like that got too big and sold out.
Man, if that's the headline in 5 years.
Hey, we're here for a good time, not a long time.
Honestly.
That's what we're hoping for.
Hey, if that thought makes you sad.
You won't see me being like a 60-year-old millionaire who just stops quitting like 2 years early. You're gonna see me as soon as I can, even though it's probably a bad idea in a year.
If you like our content, thank you. And if that thought makes you sad, sorry. But hey, at least you get a few more years of us being authentic.
Hopefully, only a few. Video games.
Hey, stay tuned for next week. We're going to wrap up the first half of the year with some of our best of on the podcast. I'll do YouTube and obviously TikTok stuff. But then we'll be off for at least a month. At minimum, we'll be off for a month. Yeah. I think we're going to shoot for two.
Yeah, June's pretty heavy birthday-wise for like most of the people we know.
Yeah. And then July, it's like peak summer time.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in August.
We'll be back at some point. We might come back here or there. We don't know. But bye.
Hard to see. Bye.